Once in a holy place in the forest of Namaisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Sonaka assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees, purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general, and as such, the sages headed by Shonaka and others assembled at this holy place of Namaisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. So, there are two different types of transcendentalists. One is called Bhajanandi, and another is called Goshyanandi. The Bhajanandi class of transcendentalists are mostly concerned for their own spiritual development, and as such, they usually sit in one place to perform their bhajan. Of course, by their purity at heart, they do good to others, but generally they're mostly concerned for their own well-being. However, there's another class known as Goshtanandi, and this class of transcendentalists is always feeling anxiety on account of the suffering of the fallen souls. So of the two, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, gave all importance to this Goshtanandi category. And in fact, it is impossible for the present-day so-called civilization to produce a type of person who can be Bhajanandi. To sit down in one place and do bhajan is very difficult for anybody. Simply to sit and chant 16 rounds is very difficult for anybody. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada came first to America, he ordered that everyone should chant 64 rounds, because his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, considered that anyone who could not chant 64 rounds a day was considered to be fallen. So, unfortunately, nobody could follow this instruction here. No one was able to chant 64 rounds, so Prabhupada reduced it to 32 rounds. But even this was too difficult. So at last he came to the point of 16 rounds per day. So for anybody to sit down in this hectic civilization of the West and simply do bhajan is very, very difficult. People are too much afflicted by the modes of ignorance and passion. So, therefore, Goshtanandi is not only better, it is more practical. And, actually, this Goshtanandi process of traveling and preaching and delivering the fallen souls, this was preferred by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, the a great sage, a great devotee of the Lord, he's very concerned, he's very much in anxiety, not on his own account. Just like when Lord Narsingadev appeared before Prahlad Maharaj and offered the boy any kind of benediction he would want, Prahlad said that for himself, he had no difficulty. He was quite satisfied. But he was feeling a great anxiety to see the suffering of others. And therefore he was always making plans, busy making plans, how to deliver the fallen souls. So this is the real business of the devotee of the Lord. Actually, Lord Krishna wants to see the compassion of the devotee being aroused. Because it is when a devotee's compassionate nature is aroused that this is a symptom that love for Krishna has actually manifested in someone's heart. Krishna is the most merciful. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of all. Namo Mahabhananyaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gore Itasheyi Namaha. This prayer is offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous avatar of all time, more kind even than Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the most magnanimous, merciful form because he is benedicting the fallen souls with love, love of Krishna. While Krishna came to destroy the demons, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is a little different. Although he destroys the ignorance which is within us, he doesn't do it by killing the body. He does it by delivering the holy name of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to uplift the fallen souls. And anyone coming in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this same responsibility. We should understand that there is a great task ahead of us because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the transcendental gardener in the garden of devotional creepers, he is a transcendental gardener, and this tree of love of God has produced so many fruits and flowers that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling anxiety how to distribute so many fruits of love of God. Therefore, it is the desire of the devotee to relieve the burden of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by helping him to distribute these fruits of love of God. For one who makes this effort, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blesses him. One who has life, he can actually preach. The preaching is something that comes by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, this process of preaching is not a material activity that can be performed by just anyone. Just like yesterday, one lady member asked, it is so difficult, she said, to make people understand Krishna consciousness. But actually, it is not difficult at all if one has the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is such a thing that it can make practically anyone become a devotee of the Lord. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was traveling to Vrindavan, he went through the Jarikanda forest. So at that time, he met so many tigers and so many deer and elephants. And when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and heard the holy name from his lips, they also began to chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he met these very fallen, the Beals. This is a class, very tribal men in that area of India. He also met them, and they also became infused with pure love of God. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments that similarly, the devotees of the Krishna Consciousness Movement have gone to Africa, and they have also made the men of Africa, the tribal men of Africa, also to chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, actually, our whole movement is effective because it has the blessings and the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who wants to be empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those instructions come through the process of disciplic succession. The guru, at the time of initiation, takes responsibility for the disciple to go back to home, back to Godhead. And in exchange, the disciple gives a firm promise that he will chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles. So this is the first qualification for gaining the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one has to learn to follow the instructions of the spiritual master very, very faithfully. In fact, When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Prakasananda Saraswati, he pointed out that the whole essence of spiritual life depends upon following the instructions of one's spiritual master. This is actually to be taken as one's life and soul. Just like Srila Prabhupada received the instruction that he should try to spread the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking language. So this entire movement is the humble attempt of one disciple to fulfill and satisfy his spiritual master's desires. And we are simply working to assist him. We don't have any other business. The disciple does not create some new idea or some new desire. He simply takes the desire of his spiritual master and makes that the guiding light of his life. So as Srila Prabhupada got this instruction from his Guru Maharaj, now he has expanded on this instruction and created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we should understand that this society is actually meant for fulfilling the mission which his Guru Maharaj gave to him. This Krishna Consciousness movement is meant to deliver Krishna Consciousness to all of the fallen souls. It is not a movement simply meant for living comfortably, eating and sleeping nicely. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself never cared so much for this, although he took big feasts at the home of his devotees to please them. Actually, when he was on his own, he demonstrated, just like he was traveling with one Bhattacharya when he went to Vrindavan. So whatever the Bhattacharya could collect in the form of rice and vegetables, he would prepare, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat very simply. And if he could not get anything, then he would cook whatever little rice was left and find some wild spinach in the woods. So by this example, and later on the example of the six Goswamis, the principal disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were able to practically give up eating and sleeping entirely, we can understand that one should minimize the demands of the body. The body makes so many demands. But if one wants to become fixed in the consciousness of preaching spirit, he has to practically try to minimize the bodily demands. The body is demanding so much time, so much consideration. It demands so much time for sleeping, so much time for bathing, so much time for eating. The materialistically minded person, his entire time is spent in fulfilling the demands of the body. He'll sleep 8 to 10 hours a day minimum. He'll eat for another 2 hours, then 12 hours are finished. He'll bathe for another hour, 13 hours are finished. He's got to work 8 hours in order to be able to eat and sleep and bathe and have sex nicely. So that's 21 hours, and then another hour or two for traveling, 22, 23. So he has 1-2 hours left to watch television, have some sex life like this. This is his business. So a devotee, on the other hand, he's thinking all the time. He's agitated. He's in anxiety because he sees how much the people are suffering. So he's always taxing himself with thoughts of how to spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, just like our godbrother Ramaswami Maharaj was saying the other day, we were traveling in the car. Someone asked him if he wanted prasadam. At that point, he said, "Yes, at this time, there's nothing better to do. Let us take some prasadam." So he was always, he's always thinking, is there something to do to spread Krishna consciousness? If there's nothing to do, all right, then we can take some time for taking prasad. So we should be in this type of a mood, you see, not thinking for our own comfort, but worrying for the well-being of others. Then automatically Krishna will look out for us. Do not worry. For one who sacrifices everything for Krishna, Krishna will cover everything for them. They don't have to worry. This is a real platform of happiness. Otherwise, you'll always be thinking of your own happiness, your own satisfaction, your own comfort, and you'll never be happy, satisfied, or comfortable. But one who is in the mood of trying to make others happy, he becomes happy very, very easily. So these great sages, this is why they're great. Mahatma. Great sage means a Mahatma. Mahatma is not some kind of a title which is rubber stamped on by the popular masses. The word Mahatma is a very big title. It means great soul. So he's a great soul because he's gone beyond simply the small designations. We cannot go be limited by small designations. Just like when we go out and preach, we have to be in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made no distinction, no such distinction, who I will speak to, under what circumstance I will speak, in what place or time I will speak. Wherever he went, he sang and danced the Hare Krishna mantra, and he made no distinction. So similarly, when we go out to distribute books, we shall make no distinction. Not that I will only speak to such and such category or class of person. Everyone requires transcendental knowledge. Everyone in this age is missing this most important element of Krishna consciousness. We have got a very big field. There's no scarcity of work to do. So the Mahatmas, they're always anxious to do good to the people in general. We have to know what is that good. People do not understand what is good. Everybody is thinking to do good means to get a good job. You see, if you do good for someone, what does it mean to do good for someone? What do the karmis mean? First of all, do good for yourself, they say. But what does that mean? It means to get a good education and get a good job and get a nice house, a nice car, and on and on and on. This is called good at doing good, you see. Or like they form organizations, the Lions Club, the Rotarians Club, all of these organizations for doing good, and they'll open hospitals, or they'll feed the poor, or they'll adopt a village somewhere in Africa or India, you see, and then supply clothing and medicine and other such food and other such things. This is doing good. Or they'll form, or the state is doing good. Free education, you see, public education, which actually slaughters the consciousness of the poor students. Medicaid, you know, free medical services simply to keep you alive so you can go on with your business that you're performing. Or the states or the countries of the world form the United Nations and they try to do good. In this way, there's so many do-gooders, but actually they do not know what is to do good. Anyone who considers this body to be the self is considered to be in hellish mentality. Now how, by putting someone into a hellish mentality, can you be considered... This cutting is very disturbing. Anyone who is considered to be in hellish mentality, how can he do good for anyone? To do good doesn't mean to put someone into a hellish condition. And as long as you deal with someone as if they're the body, then that is brute mentality. Therefore, to do good for someone means to teach him how to get out of his ignorant condition. To do good for someone means to educate that person. And education, real education, means to understand what is matter and what is spirit. And what is the creator of both? Stand up because you're falling asleep. Stand in the bed. So, this is actually doing good, to spread Krishna consciousness. You should understand that. If people criticize you when you're distributing or preaching, why don't you go out and get a job, they say. Or why don't you do good for somebody? You say, I am doing good. I'm going to help you to never have to take birth again in this material world. I'll be able to give you a book which will teach you how to never have to take birth again, never to die, never to grow old, and never to get diseases. So this is the real business of the Mahatmas. It's not some political business for trying to get some sort of so-called freedom. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. Yes. They are in ignorance, born into delusion and ignorance. People are born into delusion and ignorance. Therefore, they do not know what is the right path for peace and prosperity. Though we have to educate again. This whole business is started by the fathers and mothers. The fathers and mothers are guilty because they do not know how, by their ignorant consciousness, they're bringing forth Varna Sankara, unwanted population. So again, these books are required to teach people what is the meaning of being father and mother. They don't understand. Simply, they're producing so many ignorant class of men. However, the sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends of all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. And this is a very important point, that the preacher of Krishna consciousness has to be willing to undergo inconvenience. You see, this is the opposite of the karmi. The karmi does not want to undergo any kind of inconvenience. His only consideration is how to make himself comfortable. But a devotee, on account of preaching, he's willing to undergo all kinds of difficulties. Just like our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he underwent so many difficulties to fulfill the desire and order of his Guru Maharaj. Initially, when he began the publication of Back to Godhead, he was not getting any money. He had to fund the magazine himself. He had to write the articles. He had to type the articles. He had to travel by train to Delhi and get the publication published. Then he had to go and selling it and distributing it. Very difficult work. Prabhupada even began the publication of this magazine in his householder days. Even while he had business and was a householder, he was somehow putting out this magazine. You see? So he brought this magazine to the Western country with the hope that people would take it as the backbone of this movement and read it and carefully understand the purpose of human life. He underwent so many inconveniences. In his travels by the ship, we learned in the Aspuj day of Prabhupada, disappearance day, we were reading the biography, how he suffered heart attacks on the ship, and how in the first year he underwent tremendous difficulty. But Prabhupada later on said that the difficulties which he underwent, he realizes now, were his great asset. So this austerity that one is willing to undergo on behalf of Krishna becomes a great asset for the devotee. Yes, it is difficult to go out and preach. No one said it is not difficult. But what is more difficult is to have to take birth again in another lifetime in somebody's womb. You don't think that was difficult? 9 months upside down with your hands and legs tied up with little worms biting on you? Don't you consider that difficult? Don't you consider that becoming old and diseased is also difficult? Where is there not difficulty within this material world? So you're a fool number one if you simply try to adjust the situation to try to avoid difficulties. You cannot avoid difficulties. This material life is dukalayama shashatam. It is a temporary place of suffering. You cannot avoid suffering as long as you have a material body. Therefore, might as well make a good use out of a bad bargain. Since you have this material body, might as well utilize it, voluntarily undertake some austerity, and tolerate these difficulties for pushing forward Krishna consciousness, instead of wasting your time to try to adjust one difficulty after another, which never works because there's always new difficulties coming. Just like no one tried to get a disease, but you keep getting new diseases. Every time you get over another, you get another disease. So like that, miseries are coming in life. If you spend your whole lifetime simply trying to adjust one misery after another, you waste your valuable human life. Therefore, tatikshatsva, tolerate. You see, this is the symptom of one who's advanced. He learns to tolerate these things. Describe Mattasparsas Tikuntaya Sitoshna Sukadukada Agamapaino Nityas Tams the Tikshasvarbarata. The happiness and distress, heat and cold, summer and winter, they are all the different dualities of material life, and they're caused by sense perception. But one who is really intelligent, Tams the Tikshasva, he learns to tolerate these difficulties, and instead of adjusting the situation, he keeps his consciousness fixed on his real business of distributing Krishna consciousness. The great souls, the devotees of the Lord, they're willing to undergo inconvenience. It is a great inconvenience. Sometimes you'll even be offended. Some of our devotees, sometimes they're beaten. But that is all right. That is in our line. Srila Haridas Thakur was beaten and flogged through 23 villages. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Yes, people in ignorance, and that's who we have to preach to, ignorant people, they may even beat us. It is a great inconvenience. But we are willing to undergo these for the satisfaction of Sri Guru and Gauranga. This is Krishna consciousness, voluntarily undergoing some austerity. Just like it is nice to sleep late, it is inconvenient, it is difficult to get up early in the morning. But unless we rise early in the morning, we'll never have the strength to carry forward the mission of Krishna consciousness. Everyone here should try to go to sleep early enough so that you can get up and chant all your rounds before Mangal Arati. You should try your best to be able to do that. You get up at 9, you go to sleep at 9, get up at 3. No reason why you can't get up at 3. Then at least you can chant for an hour before Mangal Arati. Then you'll get some strength. You wonder why you're not becoming strong in Krishna consciousness. Because you're not making the effort. God helps those who help themselves. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similar human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and once attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. So this is a very good example that everyone is like the leaves and branches of a tree. The root of the tree is Krishna. And if one wants to serve all living entities, he has to learn how to water these leaves and branches throughout the tree. The method of watering is not to pour water singly on each leaf and branch, but by watering the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches will become nourished. Every single living entity has a connection with Krishna. If you try to serve each person independently of Krishna, it's not possible. But if you realize their eternal connection with Krishna, you know how to satisfy them properly. Just like if you have intelligence, you'll know that the leaves and branches are all connected to the root. And if I simply water the root, automatically the leaves and branches will get watered. And similarly, if I learn to serve Lord Krishna, automatically people will become satisfied. You may not see, they may not see the connection, but we with intelligence can understand that Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul. Sometimes people will say, I don't see how by your becoming Krishna conscious, you're making me happy. Your mother and father may say this too. They don't understand the connection with Krishna. There's a very real connection. Just like for a less intelligent man, he can't see how the leaves and branches will become watered by pouring water on the root. But similarly, a less intelligent person will not understand how by serving Krishna, all of the living entities become satisfied. Because Krishna is located in everyone's heart. Krishna is situated even within the atom. Therefore we have to see with this Shastra Chaksu, see with the eyes of Shastra or Scripture. And then we get this vision. Now, if you think that you can water the leaves and branches and if they're not connected to Krishna, it is simply futile. So many leaves, so many branches on the ground, you pour water on it, it won't make anything grow. So now this society that we're living in has become disconnected with God. No matter how much service you do, if it is not in connection with God, it is like pouring water on disconnected leaves and branches. All of your energy is simply wasted. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Simply futile, wasted energy. Similarly, we should be very careful not to disconnect ourselves. Now, just because we have taken initiation, do not conclude now everything is finished. Initiation is only a beginning or a chance. What does initiation mean? It means you're connected with the Guru Parampara. You're connected with Krishna. And what is the method for continuing that connection? To go on fulfilling the order of the spiritual master. As soon as one stops thinking of the order of the spiritual master and thinks for his own sense gratification, he immediately becomes cut off. Just like you'll read in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, how the followers of Advaita Acharya, some of them became disconnected and they withered and died. And some of the disciples did not become disconnected. So we see in our own society now, after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, that some of the God brothers, they're becoming disconnected. Why? Because there were so many desires which were lying in their heart, which manifested themselves, desires for sense gratification, and instead of tolerating these desires, they began to act upon them. As soon as you begin to act upon them, these are weeds which choke up the creeper. You see? And when the creeper becomes choked and cannot get any water, then the leaves or branches, it falls off. So, these weeds are very dangerous things. Everyone should understand that. There is no escape. As long as you try to fulfill your personal desires, this will stop you from fulfilling the desire of Sri Guru and Gauranga. And the result will be that you'll become like a useless, dried up leaf or branch, and eventually you will snap and fall off the tree. So I want to go on pouring the water on the root. I want to go on pouring the water on the root. I want to go on meditating on the order of my spiritual master. So many devotees now, we see, they're falling down. That means that they had so many other motives. People come to Krishna consciousness with so many motives. Not purely. It's described, Chatur Vidha Vedanti Mam Janaha Sukritina Arjuna Atartha what is that? Atartha Brahma. Chatur Vidha Vedanti Mam Janaha Sukritina Arjuna Arto Jignasa Artharti Gyani Cha Bharata Savam. Yeah. four kinds of persons, Sukritina, four kinds of pious persons approaching Krishna. One of them is in distress. One of them is searching after some wealth. One is inquisitive, and one is actually after knowledge. So people come to God consciousness for so many material motives. Now, by the grace of the spiritual master, these motives become purified, so that even though that one did not come actually for love of Krishna, still by the gradual association of a pure devotee of the Lord, his impure motives are purified. Just like Kubja, she approached Krishna with lusty thoughts, but because she approached Krishna and did some service to Krishna, immediately Krishna purified her desire. And there are many examples like that. And there are many, many examples like that. The element is service. Service to the spiritual master and service to Krishna will qualify me that my impure motives will become purified. The expert handling of the spiritual master treats the devotee or the disciple in such a way that even though the disciple has many impure motives, the guru gives directions how the disciple may serve in such a way that what is impure can be purified. Therefore, one requires the help of the spiritual master, just like this young man yesterday, Bud, who left us, you see. Last night he came and spoke to me. And so he was saying how he wanted to serve Jesus Christ. You see. So I asked him, where is your connection with Jesus Christ? So then I said, because you have no idea about Jesus Christ except from what you've heard. And unless you see some example, unless someone helps you, then he told me of some priest. You see. Then I asked him about this priest. Does this priest eat meat? He said, yeah. I said, well, Jesus Christ, he let all the animals go from the church, from the synagogue steps. He let them all go loose. You think that he would take birds and slaughter them and eat them? He said, thou shalt not kill. But how can you say that this priest is embodying the spirit of Jesus Christ? I said, actually, you have no connection with Jesus Christ. You have no guidance, and therefore you're bewildered. And that is the whole problem with most of the world today. There's no good guidance from any guru unless we take the help of the spiritual master to guide us in our devotional service. How will these impure motives which lie within my heart be purified? So, the spiritual master is required. And the process for purification in this age is given very, very simply. As I said yesterday, Krishna Vana Trisha Krishna Sango Pangashta Parshadam. Akrishna means non-blackish. In this Kali Yuga, Krishna will come in a non-blackish form. Krishna Vana Trisha Krishna Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtanai Tayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasha Sankirtan. Sankirtan, this is the jagya, the sacrifice which is recommended for this age. Everyone who wants to remain connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in this Sankirtan process. This will keep you enlivened. Sankirtan, or the preaching of the glories of the Lord, will bring out the nicest qualities within the individual. Your mercy, your compassion, your patience, your determination, all of these qualities will be evoked by the performance of the Sankirtan Jagya. In previous ages, there were other jagyas as sacrifices. You see? But in this age, they will not work. You cannot sit down and simply meditate in this age. It will not work. You cannot perform simply opulent temple worship. It will not work because it won't bring out all of the best within you. As it says here, one has to be pushed to the point of inconvenience. That suffering, that austerity, is spiritual happiness. As you minimize the comfort, as you maximize the material inconvenience, automatically the spiritual benefits will come out. Therefore, sages or saintly persons, they always undergo austerity. Tapasya brahmacharjena. The beginning begins with tapasya, voluntary austerity. So, this sankirtan process or spreading Krishna consciousness through the transcendental book distribution and prasadam distribution and chanting of the holy name distribution, these methods are part of this sacrifice which is recommended in this age. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans which are being made by atheistic leaders are sure to be baffled at every step, yet they do not wake up to this. You read the newspaper, one plan after another is being baffled. One arrangement of the materialists after another is being baffled. I was just seeing that they were describing some tankers that were being, one tanker went in off the road, plunged down 10 foot, hit a bunch of cars, exploded, and they were saying if it contained a more poisonous gaseous substance, thousands of people could have been killed. So here's their arrangement, big gas plants, and what is the result? More death. Maybe there's some convenience, no doubt, but so much more inconvenience also. This is not simple living and high thinking anymore. This is the opposite society. This is the society of atheists. And they're all be crazed. We were reading again, there's another newspaper, that drugs are a major problem now in Washington, D.C., amongst the politicians. You see? There, more and more of them are addicted to drugs. And big, big men. There was a paper said that their former Senator McCarthy, he was addicted to morphine. It has just now come out in a book. So he was harassing so many people in the early 1950s, and now it's clear why. The man was a drug addict. He was a drug addict. And so many of these people now, it is a regular, they said that smoking marijuana is as regular as drinking martinis in Washington now. And so many people are taking intoxication. You see. And they're leading the biggest country in the world. They're planning and making arrangements. You can imagine, they're only creating more chaos. This is the leadership of the world. So it's up to us to form a new leadership. This society is meant for bringing to the forefront a new leadership to guide the world out of chaos. And what is the method? You have to educate the people, first of all, so that they know how to elect the proper leader. And these books will give that education. The more books that go out, the more the people will be able to understand how they're being cheated by these rascal leaders. And they'll be able to recognize the real leadership of the Krishna consciousness devotees. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. Are there any questions?
You're saying when we go out there, we're supposed to get every single person we speak to. We're not supposed to miss anybody. But what if the person refuses, that we have to waste time with one person and forfeit?
If he refuses, that does, what can be done? We have to give everyone the opportunity to take a book. Then it's up to them. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot force the horse to drink the water. So you can give everyone a book, but if they refuse to take it, then you've done your duty.
As
long as you ask for permission. Then yes. You say, all right, even if you don't take a book, give something to help. If they say I won't, then say at least say Hare Krishna. Try somehow to give them some benefit. This is a great mercy. This way you'll be remembering Krishna all day long. The best way to remember Krishna all day long is to help other people to remember him. That's the beauty of Sankirtan. When you go out in Sankirtan, you get unlimited opportunities to talk about Krishna, to give people Krishna's mercy. It's a great benediction, Sankirtan. But if you sit around all day without preaching, then you fall into Maya. Preaching is the best method of fixing one's mind all the time on Krishna. Another question?
You were using that example of dried up trees of skin. Well, if that's the view of something that has to be tree, they pretty much consider it impossible to be dried. So if the disciple becomes included in that way, as you were using that example, is it also impossible to be dried?
No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought dead people to life again. So many examples are there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was dealing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son, who was practically in his deathbed, he was dealing with also with, I think, Advaita Acharya's or Srivas Thakur's son, who had stopped all visible symptoms of life. And each of them he made to come and chant again. There's so many examples. By the mercy of Krishna, it is possible to even bring a dead man to life. So what to speak of someone who's still breathing, but has simply forgotten Krishna? It is possible. But when someone gets the mercy of Krishna, and then again neglects it, it does become very difficult. Innocent is one thing, you see. Innocent is one thing. Just like a man who's sleeping. If you say, get up, it's very easy to wake him up. But someone who is making believe that he's sleeping, it is very difficult to wake him up. You can shout as much as you want, he'll still go on making believe he's sleeping. So these people who know about Krishna consciousness, but now are forcing themselves to forget about it, and that way they leave the movement, it's very hard for them to understand. For an innocent person, you can preach and he'll hear open-mindedly. But for someone who's heard, who's accepted, and then rejected it, and forcefully tries to reject the philosophy, for him it's very hard to preach to him. Another question?
Rarely ever go to the book. So instead of even going up to him with a book, we just give him like a flag and trying to get the information to him.
Yes.
Just like those people, they know about Krishna, but they don't have any money.
No. That I don't find like that. I was speaking not about that. I was speaking about devotees who sometimes leave, like this bud, and so many initiated devotees, not bud, he is simply ignorant, but initiated devotees who get initiated, who take vows to fulfill the order of the spiritual master, and then out of the desire for sense gratification they forcefully try to find some fault in Krishna consciousness. That I was mentioning. Many people are like that. So many people have left.
You were speaking how one has to voluntarily accept austerity and convenience. At the same time, we know that over endeavor in that direction can also lead some kind of fallback. So what are you trying to go from some type of guideline?
I don't find over-endeavor in that direction.
Well, just like some devotees might say, well, now I'm not going to eat any more sweets. And then 1 week later, all he's doing is stuff and sweets on his mouth.
Then he didn't do it. So someone who can actually say that and do it, he'll be benedicted. That person didn't do it. He didn't remain true to his vow. That means what is right for one person is not necessarily right for someone else. In the beginning, we encourage people to take opulent prasadam, to give up their taste for meat and other abominable, prohibited foods. After they've developed strong attachment to Krishna, then they may also restrict even their eating of prasadam, and they won't fall down. But in the beginning, if they do that, then they'll be again attracted to prohibited foods. So in the beginning, we encourage people to eat more prasad. Just like little children are always encouraged, right, to eat as much as they can. Isn't that? When they're small, growing child, they say, he's growing. So similarly, new devotees, they're growing boys. They should be encouraged to eat lots of prasadam. Another question?
During the lecture, when the spiritual master reports about something,
yes, and then they'll fall down if they do that. If I read the newspaper, I'm reading it, just like now I'm reading it so I can learn about the city of Houston. Otherwise, this newspaper is simply bad news. So it's very unpalatable for me to read this newspaper, except for the fact that I'm trying to understand what is going on in the city so I understand where to get, where to locate our temple and other things. Otherwise, I got no reason to read. I saw Prabhupada one day read Time magazine, and after 45 minutes, he had a big headache, he said. He said, this has simply given me a big headache. And Prabhupada even comments in one of his purports, I think, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we should not read these magazines and airline journals and all of these other things. He specifically points that out. So that not read means not read except if there's some specific purpose. Otherwise, one should not. Yeah, all the news is useless news. All bad news. All bad news. But just like this cult thing, this suicide, I have to read it to see what the position is, because it's going to affect our society somehow. Yes? Yeah? No, not in the mode of goodness. We don't want the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness will never let you get out on the lots. At least the mode of passion gets you out there. The mode of goodness will not. But actually, the mode of passion is not proper either. Initially, in the beginning, book distributors work in the mode of passion mostly. A good book distributor, you should be. Mode of ignorance, you'll never get out. The mode of goodness, you won't want to go out. In the mode of passion, you'll be forced to go out by the mode of passion. But if you want to remain out, then you have to come to the mode of pure goodness. Sudasattvic. Sudasattvic means pure good. Pure goodness means transcendental mood. Transcendental attachment to Krishna, to Guru, and to the orders of Guru and Krishna. This is transcendental. When one comes on that platform, he can distribute endlessly without any stopping, without becoming tired, without becoming in any way bored or frustrated like that. Just like Prabhupada, how was he able to go at the age of 70? How was he able to travel around the globe 16 times, opening over 100 temples, writing more than 80 books, accepting more than 5,000 disciples, 10,000 disciples? How could he do that? That he was totally enthused. He's in the touch with this Devi Shakti, internal energy of the Lord. Jai Sri Sigurnatai. Another question? Yes, by this book's going out to such huge quantities, gradually everyone in this country will be susceptible to Krishna consciousness, and they'll join like anything. As the difficult energy crises will increase, all kinds of things will increase more and more, there'll be more and more problems, and the karmis will have less and less solutions. And so the devotees' words will be heard by them more and more. They'll remember, oh, yes, I read this in a book. Yes, this is happening. Yes, well, they said to do it. I will go to the temple. Let me go to the temple. He'll begin to see more and more that the devotees are the only ones with the answers. We have to make very big arrangement. In the future, Prabhupada said, millions of people will come to join this movement, especially in our big communities. We have to have a big community in Texas somewhere, very big agricultural community, because millions of people will come to join. That depends upon us. If we've worked very vigorously, that depends on us and Krishna, naturally. If we've worked, the karmis are working vigorously to make it happen, because the way they're working is bringing everything closer and closer to hell. So they're doing their share. So now we have to do our side. If we can work as energetically as they are in the opposite direction, then it'll happen very quickly. The problem is now that people do not know about this movement. You see? Just like in this city, people don't know yet about this movement, because we're not working very energetically yet, and we're not working very intelligently yet. We have to take every opportunity there is for spreading this movement. Yes?
What are the qualifications for...
You're just like in, excuse me, just like in Bengal now with those floods. But Krishna arranged, you see. Now that is the perfect arrangement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Bengal. And in Bengal, no one knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more in terms of a group of people than the Bengali people do. Yet no one has been so nonsense as them, because they're the only ones who outrightly take the communism. They've rejected Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practically more than anybody. They got him and rejected him. So what happened? Why in Bengal the floods are the worst? Because somehow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to bring the people to the senses. You see? So many people there have become Mohammedans. Otherwise, there were not so many Mohammedans. There have all been last few four, five generation Mohammedans like that. So now, with this huge flood, everyone was homeless. Everyone was starving. And then our boats came with Krishna Prasadam. And even the Mohammedans were lining up begging for prasad, begging for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So Krishna can create situations. He will, when the time is right, when we're ready, when our desire is strong enough, Krishna will create the situation to enable us to spread this mission. But that desire has to take effect now in our heart. It has to grow within our hearts. You have to nurture it. It's something you have to nurture, this desire to want to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to others. You have to beg Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his mercy. Beg him to have the desire to spread Krishna consciousness.